Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Music means that we welcome onto the program Eric Hasseltine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play host. He's on Twitter, at Eric Hasseltine. Eric, so we were discussing John Hollinger's piece about what the Grizzlies may do this offseason. In terms of likelihood, how likely is it in your mind that it's somewhat of a non-eventful summer in this offseason for the Grizzlies?
I think very likely. I think they have an idea of what they want to do. They have an idea of who they already are. You're not trying to establish a culture with this group. And I think, quite honestly, your roster is in a place where you feel pretty good about it. You know, Jared Culver's contract, I believe, is expiring. Kyle Anderson's contract is expiring. Tyus Jones' contract is expiring. Ja gets the All-NBA second team, so now he's in line for that Supermax and all these things that come with it. Look, these guys aren't going to sit back and rest on their laurels and pat each other on the back for the next 6 months saying, oh, we did a great job. We won Executive of the Year for Zach Kleiman, and we won 56 games, and we were ousted by more than likely the team that's going to win the West. But they're going to try to get better, and part of the way they get better is by just sheer development of the guys they already have. I mean, you look at the development of Zaire Williams and where he was in October to where he finished the season, it was leaps and bounds, and I expect him to have a really, really good offseason as well. You got to hope everybody stays healthy during the offseason or gets healthy if they're not right now. And then, you know, obviously everybody knows the focus around town that everybody's talking about is obviously Tyus Jones, and you see what you can do there. I think you're willing to listen to teams that may want to come in and see what they can take off your roster, off your hands, potentially if you want to condense again like you did last offseason. But, I mean, Jeffrey, we get to this point every year, and I try to say the same thing. Those guys in the front office get paid what they get paid to make these difficult decisions, just like I get paid to see game, call game. And I try to stay in that lane as best I can because if the one thing in 25 years of being around the NBA has taught me is you can never predict exactly what a team's going to do in the offseason. You just don't know. We've seen blockbuster deals that literally nobody saw coming. We've seen blockbuster deals that everybody and their brother knew were about to happen for 2 weeks. So, you know, that's the unpredictability, but also the predictability of the league where it kind of goes in ebbs and flows. I think the draft will have an impact. It was obviously a shame that the Lakers season went the way it did, where, you know, when it was pretty evident with the injuries and things that they were going to fight to be a play-in tournament team or a late, you know, a low-seeded team. You know, when I say low 6, 7, 8 possibly, and obviously 7, 8 put them in the play-in, and then they just said, well, that's not who we're going to be, and we're gonna move on. That stung a little bit because that could have been a third first-round pick, which really would have given you a lot of flexibility in terms of how can we, you know, make some changes here and do something really positive this offseason that takes us from a really, really good, excellent basketball team to a potentially superior basketball team next season. So we'll see how it goes. But as I've told a lot of people, these guys right now are not sitting back, like I said, patting each other on the back. They're going through every scenario they can. And, you know, when summer league ends in mid-July, they'll get some time, some downtime to take a breath and then get the roster shaped up for training camp at the end of September, early October.
Sometimes, you know, we'll hear in the off season, you know, the concept of running it back as much as you can, that can be a risk in of itself.
Sure.
In your mind, how risky is that for the Grizzlies? Because I think you can make a reasonable case that trying to shake it up could be just as risky.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit risky because truthfully, you never really had your full roster for almost the entire season. You know, it was either Dylan was injured in the beginning, then Ja hurt his knee in November, and then Dylan came back and rolled his ankle, and he was out again, and then Ja was out, and COVID wreaked havoc on all of that as well at times. And, you know, your two consistent factors in the lineups were, you know, or well, mainly your three were Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Steven Adams. And then you had Zaire Williams, who played 72 games in a rookie season where we were like, if this kid plays 50 or 60 and contributes, that's a win. We started 36 of those games, or maybe it was 62 and he started 31. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Either way, it may have been 62 and started 31. He started half the games he played. But, you know, Tyus was durable and Melton was pretty durable. And so we had there was some good fortune there for sure. I mean, there was also some times where it was a little bit frustrating because you wanted to see what that group was capable of doing. So running it back is a good thing. At the end of every season in my sign-offs, I always say, hey, this group, as we know it right now, today, at the end of this year, will not ever be the same again. That's just the nature of professional sports. No team, you know, goes back in the next year without a new face somewhere, somehow, in any sport, for that matter. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, you saw a lot more of the, you know, the constants on the roster, but still there was some changes. And, you know, it's like that when you're growing up through school. I remember teachers telling me, hey, take a look around your class. This is the last time we're going to get together as this group when you graduate. This is the last time you're when you're playing sports. This is the last time this group is going to be together in a practice or on the field. So let's make the most of it. So, you know, look, you're always trying to evolve. You're always trying to get better. I remember Marc Gasol once telling me, if you're not trying to get better year to year, then you're doing it wrong. And if you don't think you can get better year to year, you're fooling yourself. So I think that they will be, you know, apt to try to keep it as intact as they can, but they'll try to improve some areas for sure.
Along those lines, Eric, in this scenario where, you know, largely the Grizzlies stand pat and whether they run it back or make, you know, minor tweaks, whatever the case may be, what to you as we go forward here with this offseason and looking ahead to next season, internally, what's like the most important internal improvement you think this roster, this group of guys can make individually, whether it's a player or a part of the game? Where do you see this group improving the most internally this offseason, potentially?
Well, I think, Mark, when you look at it, they were obviously the number one rebounding team in the league for a reason, but they got exposed a little bit with a smaller lineup from Golden State in that series. So maybe they try to add a little bit more of a middle-sized rebounder, not a big body that goes down and eats up space, but a guy that can rebound from the wing position a little bit better. I think they need to get more consistent with both their three-point shooting and free throw shooting. I mean, they're good shooters on this roster. I mean, we know that. We know one in particular, obviously, is one of the better shooters in the NBA, and it's the first guy they've had on a roster that when he shoots a three, and I'm talking about Desmond Bane, I think that's going in every time. And it obviously doesn't because nobody makes every shot, but you feel pretty good about it when he releases. I thought the Anthony Melton's three-point percentage improved. And there's, you know, that's one of the spots on the roster that you go, is D'Anthony Melton the guy that continues to be there? I love what he brings to the table. I mean, he's, you know, the Swiss Army knife guy. But, you know, is that a guy that maybe you package with something? I don't know. I don't want to speculate that at all because I think he's got some real value, and the camaraderie is something you can't find on the open market. These guys genuinely like playing with each other. But when you're as a team going to play at that fast a pace and your free throw percentage is below 75, I think they'd like to tick that up to 77, 78, 79. And all of a sudden, you know, we watch this team blow doors off people a lot, but we also watch them let some leads slip away because of things like missed free throws and maybe a little inconsistency. So some perimeter consistency, some shooting consistency. I think for individually, if you look at Ja, he'll work on that three-point shot for sure. But I think he's got to start really considering maybe easing up completely attacking the rim every time. You don't want to not have him be who he is because he's so special, but you also want the durability to be there and going in and getting hit by 7 foot tall, 240 pound guys. It takes a toll. You know, the floor is not made of sponge or pillows or rubber. It's made of wood and it does not forgive and it hurts. And so I think that that's something that he'll work on. I think that the more they get that chemistry together as they built it through this year with a couple of new faces and over the last three seasons, the better they're going to be. I mean, look at Phoenix. They added Chris Paul two seasons ago. They make the run, and then they had just a remarkable this year because the year this year in the regular season because they had played together. Same with Golden State. They've kept that roster pretty much in check, but if they have to make a move, they find guys that fit what they do. I think sometimes, and just my opinion of NBA front offices, is sometimes you get caught trying to make a splash, and the splash maybe looks good on paper, but when you get it on the court, it's not the right fit. We've seen that in several places where big-name guys go places and it just doesn't really work, and you got to make a move after that. So what you try to avoid when you're getting those things that you want to try to tick your team up a little bit, and let's be honest, they have the second-best record in the league. If they tick up, they're going to be pretty amazing, which we all think, you know, is going to be the case for the next handful of years. You just don't want to take a step. You think you're taking a step forward, but if they're actually due to take a step back, to have to retake that step. So, look, these guys in the front office, I've been around a lot of front office people in my career. I've had the good fortune of getting to know some of them on a more personal level than just business level. I've got the utmost faith in this group. They are absolutely brilliant people when it comes to breaking down the data, breaking down their analysis of how it fits, and also being smart enough to know they probably don't know every single thing, so they value opinions. You know, one of the brilliant things about Greg Popovich is he's not a yes man. He doesn't want a meeting where everybody just goes, sure, whatever you want, Pop, we'll do it. He wants differing opinions so they can value that input. And I think that this front office is just like that. And they value the varying opinions and what people think and where they come from on it, and, you know, present it in an educated manner. And let's see how we can work it all together to get the best possible result for the organization.
Eric, beyond the obvious of reinserting the Grizzlies into the playoffs, why do you think so many of the games in this playoff series or in this set of playoff games, why do you think they've been so not entertaining?
Man, I wish I had an answer. I keep hearing that. Mike Breen is one of the best announcers to ever.
He had a great line last night.
The microphone. He's got it. He's just like, what in the world is going on in this series?
Well, he had a line last night, like, and it's close, finally.
It was great. Yeah, so, you know, the other night, if you heard it, it was his birthday, and you know, right before he said it, he was just like, what in the world is happening here? And then they wished him a happy birthday. And I've been fortunate enough to develop a friendship with Mike, and I shot him a text and just said, hey, you tell me what's going on, bud, because this is like, I try to sit down and watch with my 10-year-old who's really into basketball right now, and, you know, his bedtime is probably more towards the middle of the third, and I want to say, hey, your schoolwork's pretty much done. He finished up school pretty much today. You can stay up a little later. He looked at me at 9:15 the other night, and he goes, can I go to bed? That's exactly what he said. He goes, Dad, is it okay if I go to bed? I said, yeah, dude, you don't have to ask me that. But that's kind of where it's at. It's kind of a shame because I really thought the Dallas Golden State series would be a contrast in styles, but wouldn't be that lopsided. It would be kind of who imposed the way they wanted to play. Obviously, Golden State can get it up and down the floor, but they play really good defense. Dallas is a more slower, methodical team, but still uses the three-point shot to be very, very efficient. And it just hasn't panned out. And then you look at the Miami-Boston series has had guys banged up, guys nicked up, Marcus Smart, Kyle Lowry, take a pick. But that just hasn't been, you know, the best of games to watch. I mean, at one point, what Miami has didn't get a basket for the first 6 minutes of the game, and you know, at one point had 4 points in the quarter, and there was like 3 minutes left. And my son's looking at me, going, "Why do they only have 4 points?" And I'm like, "Man, I can't explain it. Sometimes it happens." I remember a regular season game in the mid '80s where the Lakers were awesome and the Sacramento Kings were not. It was 40-4 after the first quarter. And you think about that happening in the regular season, take your pick why. Guys are hurt, scheduling, whatever it may be, teams on a roll. You just don't usually see that in the postseason, especially when you're prepping for the same team. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, we all think that Golden State's going to advance, having had a 3-0 lead. It's just so much for Dallas to come back all the way around. I just don't see them making that charge. And then in the East, I've always thought that Boston, once they found out who they were under their new head coach, had the roster that could make a serious run. When you watch them from January 1st, they just looked like a different team. And with that length and ability to guard all the way around the ball and switch everything, that can create some real problems. So if we get to that point, that's great. I think it shows also how good a coach Eric Spoelstra is in Miami, and what a good job Jason Kidd has done turning Dallas around after a slow start. So it's hard to put a finger on it, but you know, sometimes you get in these situations where you're trailing a little bit, a team gets on a little bit of a run, and then you start pressing and start doing some things outside of your character and maybe taking some quick shots or trying to do too much. And we saw Golden State had trouble with turnovers in the Grizzlies series. That can lead to it too. So I don't know. It's a shame because these are four really good teams, obviously, and the country's not really getting treated to the best basketball that it can.
Are you like Ja Morant watching this Western Conference Finals series and going, man, if the Grizzlies had just been held it together, you know, health wise, had been, you know, full strength, what could have been? Or do you think about it differently as you're watching this play out?
It's hard to think about it that way because at this point of the year, you have guys banged up. It's more prevalent in hockey, I think, because of how physical that game is, and you hear that a lot in their playoffs. Like, hey, nobody's healthy at this time. It's kind of like that with the NBA too. You know, these guys have played a ton of basketball. I thought about it like this, and I told somebody, I said, you think about it and how close the Grizzlies are. They're a missed layup away from going to game seven. They win game one and give Klay Thompson a ton of credit for shielding off the lane and taking away the angle that Ja had. And, you know, if he's a half step and step late, he not only doesn't take away the angle, he probably commits a foul and an and one. So it's that close. It was that close in game four where you watch and you're leading the whole time. You have the crowd on their heels and just a quick shot here or a turnover there. And all of a sudden that team can score 9 points in, you know, less than a minute and 10 point leads are bye-bye. And so, you think about it, you have to, if you're a part of it, cause that's the nature of being a sports fan or being someone that's been around it. You think about it, but you can't let it consume you because in the end, it's not what happened. You know, you think about, you can go to any sport. Take baseball. You know, if the Red Sox in 86, I'm not even going to talk about Buckner, don't walk guys to get to that point. Do they win the World Series then? If the A's back in 88, which is one that just still to this day irks me with Kirk Gibson hitting the home run, if they don't walk Mike Davis, we're not getting to that point. And Dennis Eckersley didn't walk a lot of guys, but he did. And so in the end, it's that did happen. And then those catches in the Super Bowl that were made by Patriots wide receivers and then, you know, by David Tyree, if those don't go their way, what happens in that game? And you know, it's a whole different outcome, but that's not what happened. So if you let that consume you, you're not trying to build off of it and reminding yourself how very thin the line, margin of victory is, how very thin that line is from being on the right side of it and being on the wrong side of it, and knowing that you can't play 48 minutes of perfect basketball. You just can't, no matter who you are, no matter what you are. But when you have the opportunity to close somebody out, you have to take those opportunities and make the most of them rather than squander them with a couple of wasted possessions here or there that can lead to problems.
Eric, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
Guys, thank you. Take care.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.